This episode of Lost and Found in Serbia is brought to you in part by the Bikitski Winery. For those of you who have heard episode 2 of this podcast, I interviewed George Bikitski about his approach to low-intervention winemaking. And he is now offering, for a limited time, a 20% discount to listeners of this podcast. So go to bikitski.rs, which is B-I-K-I-C-K-I.rs, and use the discount code LOSTANDFOUND, L-O-S-T-A-N-D-F-O-U-N-D, for a 20% discount on your first order of Bikitski wine. Enjoy. Welcome to the Lost and Found in Serbia podcast. Evan Trace here with you once again. It's been a little while since my last episode. I think that's my modus operandi, unfortunately. Since the last episode, I have been vaccinated. My wife and I were vaccinated. Very happy and thankful to the Serbian government for making those available to foreigners like myself. I hope many of you listening have also had the opportunity to be vaccinated. Good for all of humanity, the more people who take it, of course. Numbers are still high in terms of cases in Serbia, unfortunately. It's starting to come down. I hope that keeps coming down. And by the summer, we have more or less some kind of a normalcy that we haven't had for over a year. I'd like to travel, like to see more friends, do more things, go to restaurants, see people. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it seems a lot closer than it did a few months ago, so I'll look at that as the good side. The other side is that this has been a very, let's say, lackluster spring in Belgrade, in Serbia. Weather is pretty cold, dreary. We still keep seeing some snow off and on, down to zero occasionally. Took some trips to the Zlatibor area and then up in Fruška Gora near Novi Sad. Was hoping for nicer weather. Didn't get it. And I also just got back from a nice little fishing trip out at the river Gradac, which is near Valjevo, which is a beautiful fly fishing only river. And didn't catch too many fish because the water was too cold. But it's a beautiful place, so even without catching too many fish, it's a great place to go. I highly recommend Gradac to those who like fishing or just beautiful river scenery. There's some monasteries up there. You can kind of walk from monastery to monastery along the river. It's just a great place. And it reminds me of places out west in the U.S. where I used to fish and hike. So I took my father out there and we enjoyed a couple of nights on the river. Chilly, kept the wood stoves stoked. But aside from not catching too many fish, we had a great time. And it's just a great place to get to out of the city and to hear the rushing of the river and smell the clean air and see the sights around the river and the animals. And so that was great. This month's episode, I should say, is focused on tennis, finally. I've meant to do this for a while since tennis is one of my favorite active hobbies. I've been playing, as I've mentioned in other episodes, for many years, not super competitively, but sort of half-assed competitively, so to speak. Play in leagues and play with other not very talented but very determined middle-aged folks, mostly, some younger ones, and excited always to be playing new people and meeting new people through the sport. And now, as we know, Belgrade is hosting this year the Belgrade Open for the first time in a while. Unfortunately, the weather isn't really cooperating, and neither are some of the top players. Of course, Novak will be here, and the rest of the Serbian kind of top 30. But some of the other top players have decided to back out for various reasons. So that's a bit of a bummer. The other bummer, of course, is that we can't buy tickets to it because of the ongoing pandemic. So there is high-level tennis going on in Belgrade, but we can only see it on TV. But in any case, I wanted to have an episode about tennis, and I got to interview someone who I've met through my good friend Oliver, named Dragan Ilic, and he runs a club called TK Drill in Belgrade, and he's been in the Serbian tennis scene and even the Yugoslav tennis scene for over 30 years. has seen a lot over those years, has seen some really amazing players come, of course, up, including Ane Ivanovic and Jelena Jankovic and of course, Novak and Tipsadovic, etc. So he's seen a lot, and he's also seen the evolution of tennis in Serbia. He's seen a lot of players of all ages. He's traveled around, and he's been a real supporter of Serbian tennis for a lot of years. So I finally got to sit down with him at his club and talk to him about his career in tennis in Serbia and what he thinks about the future and what he thinks about the overall state of the game here. So if you like tennis, I hope you'll like this episode. Dragan has a lot of information to share. I did also want to interview an up-and-coming player for this episode, but I just didn't have time, so I may just do another episode with an up-and-coming player to hear about their perspective on tennis in Serbia and what they think their prospects are for the future in the wake of some great names that have come up in the last 10, 15 years. And to see what their life and their regime is like to be playing tennis here at a high level. Because all I know is when I go to the courts, oftentimes there'll be like a 12-year-old next to me hitting about 10 times harder than me and grunting a lot louder and making a lot more amazing shots. So there's definitely lots of talent here. Obviously, it's been excited in recent years by the big players. But it's a great tradition here, and it's great to see that there's so many tennis courts around. There's so much excitement for the game, and now that hopefully the Belgrade Open will stay here, there might be more reason to keep professional high-level tennis going in Serbia and to see a next generation of players come up through the system here. So without further delay, I bring you Dragan Ilić. Dragan Ilić, welcome to the Lost and Found in Serbia podcast. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me to this conversation.
Well, we're actually in your club, TK Drill Club, and you can hopefully hear some sounds of tennis in the background, so that will give you an inclination of what we're going to talk about today. What I'd like to start with, Dragan, is how did you get first into the Serbian tennis scene? When did it start for you?
Wow, it was long time ago, I think more than 30 years. It was my passion. And after that, when I was around 18, at that time, for proceeding, you know, and playing as a senior, was not on this level like today. Mm-hmm. So, and we had like senior tournaments around in Poreč, in former Yugoslavia. Mm-hmm. We had international like tournaments, but mm-hmm. not official like now.
Right. What years were these that you were? Well, so this is as a player.
It was like I was born 63, so it's 80s.
Right.
Yeah.
And what were the level of players when you were in your, let's say, early years in prime?
Well, I can say that they were very good, you know, and the club tennis was very good in Yugoslavia. Mm-hmm. And, we had big clubs around in the main cities and with more than 1,000 members, and it was organized on a different level, club and team level.
Right.
Now it's so, it's changing to individual.
Who were the original, at that time, who were the top players that were making people get excited about tennis?
Yeah. Well, it was Borg.
Yeah.
For sure, McEnroe.
Right. What about Wielander from Yugoslavia at that time?
At that time, we had Boba Živojinović, Prpić, Orešar, Bruno, and some other players. You know.
So there was enough interest. Was it interesting to the audiences here in Serbia, or was it because it's like a football based culture or a basketball based culture? Was tennis like where was it tennis in popularity?
But tennis was not that popular. Yeah. It was like a small group of people that are playing, and while it was not even interesting to audience, and we had to wait for a long time to come to this level and to be equal to football and other sports like we have at this moment.
Yeah. How far did you get in your, let's say, early playing career? Would you, in the top 10 or?
We didn't have that. We started like, I was 14 or 15 when I first heard about tennis. It was wooden racket, and so it was something new. But we didn't play for ranking. We played at that time for our personal level of play. Mm-hmm. So
people didn't have ambition to become professional international players.
No, come on, it was communist systems. We didn't have possibility to go to professional tournaments. It was you had to be like a very special player to go to some, like, and we have only Grand Slams at that time, and Boba did it and some other players like Pilic before him. And
but they had to be kind of fully supported by the government in order to participate.
That was the only way.
Right.
So, and but
was there investment from the government side in tennis, though?
Only for big clubs. But you know, members were, at that time, it was members collect money for the club. It was like easier. And after that, we started with the first private clubs. That was
After Yugoslavia.
No. I
began
think
a football,
we
or during.
Had Yugoslavia at that time. Maybe
it was underground clubs.
Yeah. yes. First, we had like schools. I had my private school, but for example, because it was communist system, and I rented like 3 courts whole day, and I was told, I'm not supposed to play that much, you know, I'm a private, you know, and I'm earning a lot of money. So
that's the way you did it. You booked 3 courts for the day, and then you started training or bringing in trainers.
After 2 months, they told me not to play because I can play like for 1 hour or two, not the whole day. I'm not supposed to have private club or school.
Right. So it was sort of a pseudo.
And we had to move to some other parts.
Different courts.
Yeah, and at that time I was working with the Yugoslavia Transport. So, and we had sports society there. Mm-hmm. And through them I was able to rent some space and to do some things, you know, to go on, you know.
Right.
And first clubs were private clubs, in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the first clubs?
There's
the Red Star Club. Yeah. I mean, were they?
No, Red Star is like a government club.
Yeah, I mean, so
yeah,
I mean,
and Partizan also.
Right. Okay. So, but did they exist though early on in the 90s? I mean,
those, of course.
I mean, for tennis, obviously for the other sports they already had tennis.
And they were the main clubs, you know. And after that, in Belgrade, we had tennis club Belgrade, Drill invests, tennis club Max, the guy invests in 3 courts and Master, Gazela, Milentije Popović at that time. And that was the first private clubs. And we started the tennis, Belgrade Tennis Association at that time. And we started everything. We changed that the Belgrade is a region. And before that it was like Vojvodina and Serbia. And well, I was, well, the guy that was running Belgrade Tennis Association, and we, you know, make Belgrade like separate.
I see.
And we made system with the tournaments and everything here.
So you were, I mean, was it a small community of like tennis professionals, enthusiasts?
Yeah, like around 10 clubs and not more than that. And small clubs, like three courts clubs, who has four was a good club, yeah.
And was there like rivalries and between them? And
yeah, we continued to work as we played in Partizan or Red Star. That was the only places. And we proceed with the club tennis, with the team tennis. And all the smaller clubs had team competition, and they were participating with, well, we had to have more than 10 players for seniors.
Right.
It was single matches and three double matches play. And we had first division and second and Belgrade, and all of them were full. So, and that's the way how Novak and the others, you know, started, you know.
Because there was enough of a system going on, they could play a lot of matches.
Yeah, they had enough players their age.
So even though he couldn't travel as much at first, there was a lot of different matches, a lot of different clubs.
Yeah. Well, I spoke with the director in Novak Center like 2 months ago, and Božović. He has academy in Switzerland also.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And well, he reminds me that at the drill he won against Novak that when they were around 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's something to remember. Yeah, hopefully he's got a picture.
Well, I was laughing. Well, of course I forgot, you know, when you...
He
when
was
you,
10 when, and I was 18. Came,
yeah. Yeah. So, Novak and the others has only, even in Belgrade, more than 100 players, their level.
Okay.
Well, and they can practice with. So that was very good.
So, I mean, tennis obviously got more and more popular and more, let's say, widespread and widely known. And it's not just because of Novak. I mean, when did it start before him? I mean, or is it really kind of Novak and then Ivanovic and these big players, and then it exploded? Or was there a feeling that tennis was getting more popular at that time?
I think before them, it was popular for some people, not that wide, you know.
Right.
But after that, especially when they saw that you have perspective by playing tennis,
right,
and more people are, you know, getting to tennis schools, and well, we didn't use that moment properly.
How do you mean?
I wanted to have Belgrade or around the Serbia to make bigger clubs, not to increase the tennis court price, but to increase the number of tennis courts.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen. And
so what did happen? That there's just a lot of clubs with three courts and the prices.
Well, you had a line with the students, you know, on one court that are hitting one strike and then had to move back.
Oh, yeah,
you
know, exactly.
Yeah. And that's boring and
doesn't help.
Yeah. On the other hand, there are private investors. They are making few cores, and with a few cores, they wanted to earn some money, and it was only commercial part, so it's not sport side. But we started because, well, for sure, tennis is good, mm-hmm. and it's a good habit for someone during the whole life.
Right.
And that's what we spread. But some guys only that looks at commercial side with a small number of courts.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some of the clubs that I play at here, you know, they charge in the winter, you know, inside like here, you know, they charge between 1,000 and 2,000 dinars per hour. So that's already, you're already talking about an elite yeah. phenomenon. Not everybody can afford to go and play that. So what do you, is tennis only an elite phenomenon here now?
Well, tennis school, for example, is like 5,000-6,000 dinars, 50 euros. That's average price. Comparing to other sports, they have 3,000-4,000 dinars in group sports. With tennis, you have smaller groups. So it's not that expensive because you need a bigger space, you know, and for a group with a four. And I don't think that now tennis is expensive, you know. But parents want their kids to go to professional level very fast. So, when they speak to us, we are telling them, well, you have to play for years and slowly, and, you know, you have to win in a tennis school. But the others are saying, oh, come on, your kid is can't hit a ball. So, well, he has something.
Yeah.
And you have to take private lessons. And so parents are... You know,
they have weird expectations. Yeah. I mean, is this just the Djokovic and Ivanovic?
Yeah.
This is what because of them, and everybody thinks, oh, well, why can't my kid, you know, be on the tour and making?
Of course. And on the other hand, coaches are not only professionals now. You can meet, I don't know, for just a player with a small experience that are talking that he can give you any kind of lesson. So, and they are not honest.
Yeah, yeah. So when did this start? When did TK Drill start?
Oh, this is fourth location.
Right,
yeah,
it?
So it's, we are here only for like 6-7 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like a new club. Drill started at 78. No, 87 was, yeah.
Your first one, 87.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
With one court, and we moved to other places. At Šumarski Fakultet, Forest Faculty, we made the big club,
uh-huh.
with a five courts, with a clubhouse and everything. And that place helped a lot because at 1995, we started professional tennis. Partizan, Red Star,
mm-hmm.
25th May, that's Tennis Center Novak,
uh-huh.
and Real. That was the four clubs that agreed to start professional tennis.
Oh.
And we started before Futures. Now, first level in professional tennis
right.
are Futures.
Right.
Yeah. But before that, it was Satellite. Oh, I don't know if you know.
I don't know about Satellite.
At that time, you had Satellites. That was the first level of professional
okay.
tennis. And we started that Satellites. And after that, we continued with Futures. And Drill had like 10 Futures until now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. but that helped. But we didn't do that for money. We wanted to have futures because players, when they have like 16, 17 years, well, they are not, they are stopping. They are, right. They stop playing tennis.
Right. Because they kind of have no goals.
Yeah, they cannot travel. They cannot go anywhere. And that's the reason why we started to help them to continue with the tennis and the sport.
Yeah.
That was a totally positive level. But after that, you know, well, when they started, when they get points, like in 2003, Novak started in a full club, few clubs. First, Red Star, then Drill, quarterfinals, then Čačak. And after that, no one can see him. Could see him, yeah.
Wait, so was it clear, I mean, was it clear very early that Novak was obviously better than everyone else in his, let's say, in his age group and everything?
Well, no, Novak was good, you know, but that way of recognition, international, he was like a national champion, I think, under 14, mm-hmm. and well, he had a lot of success, at that time, no one was looking at one player,
right?
Because we had more. Well, we had enough players here that were good. Yeah. Especially on this national level.
Mm-hmm.
And but when he started with his success as with ATP and goes to next level with the professional tournaments, well, it helped a lot the others to try to do the same.
Right, right. So he led the way with Tipsarevic.
Well, before him, before Novak, Tipsarevic was around, like 100 in the world. That was, and when he drops into 100, it was good for Serbia.
Right.
Yeah, and when Novak came, he pulled everybody, and they, you know, did amazing thing for all.
Did you think it was just because he inspired them, or did it also the system of Serbian tennis got better?
It's competition.
Just competition.
Yeah, so I think that's it. If he can do it, they started to, you know,
believe
in themselves, and to maybe they have changed something.
Right. I mean, it's still happening. Obviously, Krajinovic and Lajovic, these people are definitely inspired by Novak. What about on the women's side? I mean, obviously, you had Ana Ivanović, you had
Jelena,
right? Yeah. And what was there a difference in the way that women's tennis and men's tennis developed, or was it pretty much equal?
It was equal.
Was it?
Yeah. Well, I remember some pioneer tournament in Drill.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you had like on one court Jelena Janković, Ana Ivanović. On other courts, you had Tipsarević as a pioneers.
Right.
Playing. And all the parents were together. You know, mother of Jelena Janković was, you know,
friends
table,
with the mom.
One table away from Tipsarević. So, and they were all together. And we didn't know that this will happen. And, well, for me, I'm very happy because we were the part.
Right.
And, and we didn't know that. Now, when we look back, we see that it was always something that we are doing for the first time. Satellites for the first time, no one knows, and people around in Belgrade were watching us. Come on, it's tennis, and they were watching Wimbledon, Roland Garros, and they, well, were looking at us like, I don't know, maybe millionaires.
Yeah.
But they do not know that we were struggling for prize money even. No sponsors.
It really is amazing when you think about it that you started or professional tennis started essentially in 1995, and then in 5 years later, you have this generation of amazing talents that went all the way to the top. Why do you think this happened?
I received from Tennis Europe some form,
mm-hmm.
because I had in communist country one or two international tournaments, and I had questionnaire, how do I get money and everything for that? So, I think that we are using memberships, and part of them were prize money. So after that, we had to work.
You're just scraping together money.
We had to work 6 months to pay back what we gave to players.
Right.
So, and that's what we are doing because we had no sponsors. But, I wanted to tell you, on the top, it was written, that futures are stage. And you are an actor, and when you came to the stage, you are an actor or not?
Right.
So futures are called, that way.
Yeah. It's a way to test your ability.
And you know to play very good. Serbian players do know how to play very good.
Yep.
But that was the stage.
To see if it's...
Yeah, and after that, you are main actor and you goes to a different, life.
In other words, when did Novak leave and then go to train abroad?
Right after that Futures.
Really?
He got a wild card for some challengers and bye.
and then the same thing with Jelena and Anna?
Yes.
Left after they...
Jelena was practicing in Switzerland, not here, and he got sponsors, and she was playing there. Jelena was playing here, and, it was normal way for them. They were participating, but, when the first players, did participate to professional level and goes to other countries, things open.
Uh-huh.
And
things open for other Serbian players?
Yeah.
I mean, just because people realize, there's something going on in Serbia producing these players.
Yeah, and it was easier to get visa and everything because you need it.
Right. And did it get easier for the clubs, for yourself anyway, after that? Because now what's interesting is that you have a lot of people from abroad coming here to train.
Yes. But I think that we are not thinking enough for Serbian tennis.
Because
people are coming because of Serbian players to play with them, to see what do they do. They are not coming for private lessons to be... only with the coach. They want to see our players and young, especially young players, how do they become a good players in a few years.
But this is, in a way, this is an interesting time that people in Europe, for example, could think, it's a little bit cheaper to live in Belgrade. I can bring my kid here. We can work. And there's great players, as you said. There's a great tradition. There is obviously idols in the game. I think it's great to see that people will come from elsewhere to learn here.
Well, for sure. We are glad to come. I have a camp at Zlatibor for 11 years, and I have players from all around the world. But I'm not having only foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that sometimes it's in some clubs when you because foreigners have experience with a very expensive academies.
Right, exactly.
And when they come here, they can pay less and get more, you know,
individual time
yeah. and everything.
Right.
And while it's our clubs sold themselves to that private lessons.
I see.
And they have to find the balance.
Right. They're not spending enough time with the Serbian players.
Yeah. Then. And well, when you come and well, foreigners are coming and they wanna anywhere in the world, they are paying in advance, and so
right.
And the coaches had higher prices. They did something a little bit bad to Serbian tennis, and but I think that now, clubs are, you know, turning back to.
Are they?
Yeah.
They realize the mistake.
I'm Serbian, yeah. You know, coach, and I can have foreigners, you know, but I have to teach someone from Serbia to play, to go on and to proceed.
Right, right.
So that's what I do.
Yeah, yeah. Know. So you have a mix, obviously.
Yes.
And what do you feel about the state of the Serbian tennis league and the clubs now? Do you feel like the state is improving, falling? I mean, COVID obviously hurt a lot of things, but where do you feel that the place of Serbian tennis is now? Is it on the up? And the down, or
it's changing, obvious because of Corona and the things like that. Novak is old enough, and Tipsarevic, and I think all the other players,
mm-hmm.
they will start something,
yeah,
for sure, and that will change direction. For me, I hope that they will make some places with more than 10, 20 courts.
Right, like a real big club and academy.
Yeah, and that will help. Now they are, Novak is at 25th May. 25th May had courts.
Right, so it's not new.
So, yeah, they are. Tipsarevic is in Olymp.
Olymp, yeah.
Olymp was...
Already
there,
club,
yeah,
right.
Already, yeah. And I think that they will make something more.
Maybe together, or do you think
I don't know, but yeah. I think it's better to play to make separate clubs
to have
and
competition.
To have competition and everything, yeah. So
let's turn to the ATP 250 Belgrade Open that's happening. What are your thoughts about that? Especially because I think you're involved in helping some of the ball kids be involved in the tournament.
Yes, we are. After bombing, we start futures in 2003, and Drill participated. So we know things about professional tennis,
mm-hmm.
and I know. So, and now we are doing that for Novak,
mm-hmm.
Not to have ball kids. I don't know if that's my role.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling to young players that they're a future.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, obviously it's not about
Serbian,
the ball kids. It's about
Serbian,
being part of the professional tennis atmosphere.
Yeah. I told them that they are new generation players. They are not ball kids. That's a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And they are there at the same court to see the game, to understand the game, and to use that when they practice. So that's what I'm trying to say to young, students.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's an amazing opportunity. Obviously, with someone like Novak, who brings so much attention to the game, for these young players to get to see how tennis at this level is played, how people behave, how the organization is done, and the level that they need to kind of attain, I'm sure it's an amazing experience for them.
Well, it is. And I see from them that they don't want to leave, even with this weather.
Yeah.
So, I think that it will last.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And it will help because after this first tournament, Novak has to sit with the team
mm-hmm.
and to see. Because Serbian Open has to be, you know, the top of, you know, like developing developing Serbian tennis.
Yes.
Like Australian is the, you know,
the draw, the draw, pull, that,
yeah, and the US Open and all the others. They are things that, you know, helps a lot. So Serbian Open has to be that.
Yeah, and have, like you said, you know, maybe a bigger club with bigger, with more courts and yes. higher quality. Yeah, let's hope. I think it's an amazing idea to have somebody like Novak, who's still in his prime, who can draw players and yeah. hopefully next year audiences, since, you know, COVID this year.
Yeah, I hope too. And I had very short time this time, only like few weeks. But even with that time, I had ball kids mm-hmm. and girls from around Serbia. Not, I didn't want to have them only from Belgrade.
That was good.
Yeah. And on the other hand, I would like Novak to have like 50% of ball kids from his club. That will be very good for next year.
I see. Yeah, that's
he has to grow.
Right, right. As he, have you seen that he wants to be involved more in Serbian tennis?
Yes, yes. Well, we will have like, we had a challenger. And after that, ATP. And in May, we will have a ladies tournament. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, great. I mean,
yeah. Like, I don't know the date, but I heard. So everything is covered for the first time.
Yeah.
And but it's a starting point. Now we have to get together and to work on that, especially if you know that someone knows how to do that. So
you got, you have such a strong community here, of tennis community. Then you have major superstars.
Yes.
You have real tournaments now. So right, all the pieces are coming together.
Yeah. And you can come.
That's what I was going
to
ask.
Practice.
I must say, now towards, before we end, I have to ask you what you think of my game as a 47-year-old large.
Come on.
Dude,
you are good. I'm always losing, you know. So.
Yeah, right. I don't think I've ever actually played more than 5 points against you, and you make me try to pick up a drop shot and I lose it. No, I've always enjoyed playing here, and our mutual friend Oliver kind of got us together, and it's a good atmosphere. You have so much kind of experience, and your coaches have so much experience and a good attitude with the kids. So it's inspiring to see. Sometimes I must say I'm shocked at how serious the kids look. Like, I wonder if they're having
too
fun.
Too serious. Yeah.
I wonder if they're having fun sometimes, but that is because they want to be, you know, Ana Ivanovic or Novak Djokovic.
Well, that will come, but after 16.
Yeah, right.
So not when they are 11 or something like that.
Yeah,
so
they should be having a little bit more fun,
yeah,
it seems
they
to be.
They have to have fun at that time. Well, when Becker came as Novak's coach and had some interview, well, I wanted to help parents and the kids. And they were asking a lot of things, and I asked only one thing. Did you become a tennis player with individual or teamwork?
Mm-hmm.
And he moved, you know, his head back and said, oh, I became from the teamwork. You know, I was chosen from my club, and six of us were playing as a team.
Mm-hmm. That's a good message.
So, and that's my message. You know, you have to play with your age group, and that's slower, but it's real all the time, and that will help you.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good message. Okay, my final question is, do you think Novak will be considered the greatest of all time?
I think
after
that,
Nadal, of course.
Yes. No. I think that with the statistics, he will do that, you know. But they are all great, and, well, he are he's sending, you know, bigger message, you know. And he never changed himself, you know, himself. And he's so stable, and that's a very good message, even when he has everything, you yeah. know. He can do whatever. Well, I remember players before him, mm-hmm. and when they do something, when well, they always change. Like they have on their skin some
tattoo,
yeah. or they well, they want to do something more. Novak, no,
stays his own path.
Yeah. So and he's so stable and satisfied, and he, you know, lives this life.
Yeah, he's setting a new standard for professional sports, not just yeah, tennis. So.
Yeah, so, and he is the best.
Yeah. yeah. Well, I can't argue with that, honestly, even though I'm a bigger Nadal fan. It's hard to argue that Novak is not setting a new standard, even for Federer and Nadal to look to. After all these years.
Yeah, but they are, you know, they need each other.
Yes.
You need, you know.
It's like the superheroes, you know. Yeah, what are you going to, Batman yeah, without yeah. Superman? It's kind of boring.
yeah. Yes. So someone else will come.
Yes, yeah. I hope. That's what we're waiting for, right? The next generation. We've been waiting for the next generation for 10 well, years.
That's what drill do. You
yeah.
Know? We that's are your always, job. You know, trying to, you know, have next generation players, and to well, if they are, they have to play on their level, and if that level is this good, but you are not supposed to cheat with the kids, so you have to try them to play on a very good level, because that's possible.
Yeah,
don't tell them that they are playing good because they only hit the ball, you know.
Right.
So you're wasting their time. So yeah. That's bad.
Yeah, yeah. It's a sport culture. It's a tradition.
Yeah.
And the kids have to know that. Thank you, Dragan.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Thanks for listening to this episode of Lost and Found in Serbia. I hope you come again. I would also invite you to peruse the other offerings that are available on the podcast.rs platform, which is the premier platform for podcasting in Serbia. I'm Evan Trace, and see you next time.